الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Saying of Holy Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم, recite درود upon me, Allah Azza wa Jal will shower mercy upon you. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد. Today in Madani Markaz, Faizani Madina, Babul Madina, Karachi. Madani Muzakira is taking place for those individuals who are associated with the showbiz. Please ask questions. It's not necessary that I'm able to reply every question and that too correctly. If possible, I'll try to answer it. If you find me making mistake, rectify me straight away. You won't find me beating around the bush and sticking to my opinion unnecessarily. Rather, you'll find me grateful to you whilst rectifying myself. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bapa, my name is Umed Hussain. I am associated with showbiz. Whenever we invite our friends to any music function or the like, then they, without saying anything or asking anyone, attend the event by any means. But when we invite them to the Ijtima' Fezana Medina, or whenever you invite the artist to come, then schedules are made, they confirm they will attend, or even promise they will, but they don't attend whilst explaining their busy schedules for Fezana Medina. And then we feel hopeless and it feels very strange. What is the reason that those people are unable to attend?
Ya Sayyidi, Amir Ahl Sunnat, Honorable Ilyas Attar Qadri Sahib, meaning my beloved Baba, Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Assalam Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuhu.
Aye ki yo maze mein ho?
Alhamdulillah.
I am a Maiman. That's why I spoke a bit of Maimani. I have a small question for you. I don't have the courage to ask you any sort of question. May Allah forgive me. Because I am unable to ask you a question, but for some time this question continues to bother me. That, why does it happen regularly to us that we are sitting in an Islamic gathering where, say, a Milad is going on or something, or there is a program where the zikr of Allah is being done, and we sit for about half an hour, 45 minutes, and then we go into a weird state thinking, let's get up and leave from here. We start getting sleepy, or we get some stomach problem. Then why does this not happen when we are able to sit in the theater for up to 3 hours or so and nothing happened to us? We might be in a show related to showbiz, then it will even be 4 hours and we don't have any issues there. But why does this happen in a religious gathering? There is something I have frequently noted in people. I have asked you a question and I ask for your forgiveness for this also. But I will definitely request the answer from you. Would you please give me the answer? I want forgiveness for my insolence. But this is a question which has bothered me. Today I have had a chance, so I have asked you. I need some clarification that what should be its solution, Papa.
You know, an ill person, his mouth becomes bitter, isn't it? The ill person thinks that the other person is eating and enjoying, but the same morsel tastes bitter to me. I can't even eat it. As it begins to go down my throat, I begin choking. You want to enjoy your food, but you feel like vomiting. So, what is this? This is the fact that there is an illness present. Once the illness is cured, then you will start liking the food. then you will come back to your normal routine. And similarly, once you try to understand that, those who are used to doing righteous deeds, pious and pure souls, only go to the pious gatherings. Their heart inclines towards doing pious deeds. They enjoy doing righteous actions. I observe in Madani Muzakiras here, there are normally some specific faces that I note myself to always be present here, and they will come early as well. Some do come, but they take all their time in the world. They come late. They're like, I'll go now, I'll go now. And for a 3 hours film, they won't even miss a single scene. They'll come before the time, so that they don't miss any of the scenes. They don't incline towards the good deeds. A lot of it is missed even if one does eventually attend. Now, whatever excuse he has, he can understand himself that there is no excuse when there's 3 hours theatre show or even for 4 hours shows. As the questionnaire mentioned, that when we have a showbiz program, then we are fine, nothing happens to us. So this is something to contemplate upon. As we people are ill, one afflicted with bad deeds will not incline towards righteous deeds, and the one who performs righteousness will not feel any satisfaction at a place of sin. Meaning this is completely opposite. Believe me, not only one, but I can present 1,000 such Islamic brothers. Well, it's my estimation that I can present 1,000 Islamic brothers to whom, if you say that we will pay you 100 grand if you just come and sit on our showbiz stage, you don't need to do anything but just come and sit over there. Leave 100 grand, they'll even refuse 1,000,000. Why so? As he'll not get inclined towards it, and he'll also worry about his dignity, thinking that I'll be humiliated. Allah has granted me dignity due to religion, so how can I indulge in a sinful activity? Similarly, he won't go to a cinema. He won't watch dramas even discreetly, because even if he wants to watch it discreetly, then it will strike his mind that although I have hidden from people, but Allah is watching me. Isn't it? Allah is watching. Oh, sinful person, beware. Allah is watching. So consider it to be a division. Would that all of us become punctual at offering our 5 times daily salah and become used to performing good deeds, and the epidemic of sins gets removed from us, lest we face death in this very state. Like, you see, people are dying on daily basis. They die in different states. They die in good state and also in bad state. We keep hearing incidents such as there are such fortunate people who pass away during salah in the state of sajda, and then there are some who pass away whilst being indulged in committing sins, whilst being totally drunk after consuming alcohol.
Baba, one of your disciples passed away yesterday in Madinatul Munawwara. Father of late Mufti Amin Rahmatullah Ta'ala passed away in Madinatul Munawwara yesterday and was buried in Jannatul Baqi.
Allah, may Allah forgive him without accountability. You see, it's an enviable death. Live in a way that people give your example, and die in a way that people give your example. May Allah forgive him as well as his offspring and all of us. However, it's something to be envied of. Yun mujhko maut aaye to kya poochna mera, main khaak par nazar teri deewar ki taraf.
Kaiba mein mar ke thande chale jao aankhein band. Kaiba mein mar ke thande chale jao aankhein band. Seedhi sadak ye sheher shafaat nagar ki hai. Seedhi sadak ye sheher shafaat nagar ki hai.
My beloved master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated as of such that whoever amongst you can should die in Medina. One who dies in Medina, I will intercede for him. May we also die in Medina. That too in the state of martyrdom and whilst beholding the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Na daulat de, na shohrat de, mujhe bas ye saadat de. Na daulat de, na shohrat de, mujhe bas ye saadat de. Marina cha
The call that came in the time of sunset in regards to overspeeding, Bapa, let's listen to it.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I want to share an incident in regards to the Madani Muzakira. Some years ago, my friend got married. At the time of opening the fast, he was on the way to his in-law's house. He was traveling at such speed that his car hit a motorcycle. There was a child on the motorcycle who passed away. His father also received injuries. Only for the sake of delay of going to open his fast, he caused an accident and a child lost his life. Therefore, I would like to convey this message through Madani channel that please do not overspeed at the time of opening the fast. Please do not drive in such a way.
Well, definitely, the law enforcing authorities should enforce the law. And the ordinary public also has the responsibility of looking after theirs and others' lives and not breach the law. Inshallah, you'll remain peaceful. You'll manage iftar as well. Either you should leave early to reach there, or now if you are running late, then observe patience. You can also offer Maghrib Salah in a nearby masjid over here in Pakistan. Those masajid that have salah offering people in them normally have some kind of arrangements for iftar. And even if they don't, we've also been persuaded to open fast with water in hadith. If you open fast with water, with the intention of acting upon the sunnah, then you'll get the reward of sunnah of iftar as well. With date is also sunnah. Drink water. You will inshallah get time to eat as well. Eat properly after Maghrib Salah. Who's stopping you? That's why one shall observe patience and perseverance. However, it shouldn't be delayed to such an extent that your fast is opened in an hospital and with blood instead of water. An injury can also be such that the blood goes below the throat. Therefore, do not perform hastiness at all. No matter what happens, do not perform hastiness. No one cares if salah is being missed. Nobody performs hastiness in this. It's the nafs that makes one perform hastiness. It's not the love of iftar. It's the love of food that makes one think that I will be left behind. This should not be done. Everyone should follow and abide by the laws to the extent that Sharia allows us to do so. And overspeeding is obviously not only a legal offense, but its harms are apparent in front of you. Accidents would be taking place frequently, resulting in people passing away. Like, it was just mentioned in the question that the groom was in hurry to reach his in-laws. So, he would have been late anyways. Police would have come, legal proceedings would have taken place. His iftar would have been missed anyways. The poor child passed away. Just think, what kind of iftar his family would have had. What kind of Ramadan the family would have spent. The whole house would have been devastated. May it not be a case that due to overspeeding, you lose your own life, or you become the means of someone else's death. Be careful. Just to save few minutes, overspeeding can make you face severe delays and major problems. Therefore, overspeeding shall be avoided even outside Ramadan. So, whatever the laws are, whatever the speed limit states, for example, there is a speed limit of 50 miles per hour, then one shall not go over 50. Some places even have up to 80, so it varies. And at some places, there's no speed limit, like on motorway. Just drive with care, with control. So it's fine if one keeps good speed on a motorway, if his vehicle is capable of doing so. However, perhaps when it reaches 115, then the alarming sign turns on, as if it's saying beware now. Then they speed up to 150, and at times they even take it over 150, and then the car at times disbalances. At times the driver loses control over the steering wheel, and the vehicle, and the car spins, and crashes on the side, or falls in a ditch. So, therefore, there shouldn't be such overspeeding which becomes a danger for your or someone else's life. There's another problem, or maybe a misconception, that if we don't drive fast, then someone overspeeding from the back might come and crash into us. But this would perhaps happen rarely. If one stays within his own lane and drives carefully on a normal speed, then chances for him being safe are very high, as overspeeding is harming him anyways. May Allah Almighty protect us all and give us the passion to protect ourselves as well as others. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Hazrat Sayyidatuna Ummu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anha once asked Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, very famous companion. So, she asked him that whenever I look at you, you're just always smiling. What's the wisdom behind it? So he replied that I saw Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he would also smile all the time. So I keep smiling. The act of smiling is from Allah Almighty. A hadith states, At-tabassumu minallahi wal-qahqahatu minash-shaytan. Smiling is from Allah Almighty, and laughing out loud is from the accursed shaitan. We shall refrain from it. It's a satanic action. If one laughs loud, he doesn't become sinful. However, we shall avoid it. Especially in masjid, even laughing is forbidden. Meaning, laughing, smiling, and laughing loud. It will become easy if you understand their definitions. Tabassum, meaning smiling. Its definition is that lips spread and teeth are visible, but doesn't make any noise. So this is smiling. The definition of smiling. Now, if one laughs in such a way that he could hear himself from his ears, then this will be referred to as laughing. Zahak is called zahak, i.e. laughing with noise. This is zahak. However, if the laughing noise was such that if there was another person present, then he could also hear it, people could have heard, then this will be called laughing out loud. So, smiling, tabassum, and zahak are both proven from Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Laughing out loud is not proven. It's satanic action. My master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would not laugh out loud. And in a masjid, one is only allowed and permitted to only smile, and that too, if necessary. Even zahak is not allowed. Laughing loud is obviously severer than this. Regarding zahak, it's mentioned in a hadith that laughing in a masjid, performing zahak, laughing in a masjid brings darkness in the grave. As we have gathered in the Milad hall today, so if someone laughs over here, this is not considered as masjid. So this very place where brothers at the moment are present, alongside myself, if someone is sitting in the masjid and listening to me, then he's excluded from this. So this place over here is Fina'i Masjid. Fina'i Masjid is a place which is made for the needs of the masjid. So rulings over here are different. To laugh out loud, to make noise, is also forbidden here, in Fina'i Masjid. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. عز وجل وصلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد
السلام عليكم
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
My name is Irfan Malik and I belong to Showbiz. My question to you is that we often ourselves whilst performing comedy acts at times utter inappropriate phrases. So my question is that how is it to make the fun of heaven and hell? Your guidance on this matter will be extremely beneficial.
In the book Kufriya Kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab, a question is mentioned on page number 499. How is it to say that it's good we'll go to hell because film actors will also be there? Reply, it is kufr. In this impure statement, full of filth, which is even filthier than urine. In it, torment of the hell is considered to be low. Meaning, this statement contains considering Allah Almighty's punishment to be low. It is still kufr even if someone says that I was just saying it out of a joke. Sadru Sharia, Badru Tariqah, Allama Maulana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali A'zami alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi states, one who performs kufr out of joke, i.e. will perform kufr out of a joke, he is also an apostate, i.e. excluded from the folds of Islam. Even if he says that, I don't believe in what I'm saying, still he'll become a disbeliever. Dear Islamic brothers, in this era, having the mindset for protecting iman has gone very low. People use the tongue uncontrollably. State of the majority of people is such that they keep uttering whatever they want to. At times, films, dramas, novels, digests, school library books, and even newspaper articles contain various types of blasphemous phrases. Similarly, comical stories, cassettes also, at times are filled with blasphemous phrases. Question. In a comical stories cassette, a comedian, meaning a joker, uttered whilst making fun of heaven and hell, "Even if you guys go to the heaven, but still to light your cigarette, you'll have to come to us," meaning in the hell. What's the ruling for the one who uttered this statement? Reply: this statement of the comedian is kufr. Who knows what other kind of blasphemous phrases they utter? If someone from this industry gathers all these kind of phrases from them for us, that comedians utter these kind of blasphemous phrases, then we can seek guidance on them too. We have Darul Ifta Ahle Sunnat, and it will also be useful to spread it further in future as well. Now the comedian has uttered it, he has committed kufr. But those who laugh out loud and enjoy upon listening to him, so the one who agrees with him, i.e. will express joy despite understanding it, then same ruling will apply on him too. Ruling of kufr will imply on him as well.
The speaking person doesn't know what he said. He will say, "Okay, fine, if I said it, but I didn't know what it means." So will ignorance be accepted as an excuse here?
Ignorance is not an excuse in the necessities of deen. There are different conditions for it, even in the necessities of deen. So these are like small basic things. Na'udzubillah, like heaven and hell have been created by Allah Almighty. Heaven is the sign of mercy of Allah Almighty, and hell is the sign of Allah's torment and wrath. So one makes fun of them. And who doesn't know the fact that Allah Almighty will enter righteous people into the heaven and the transgressors into the hell? So what kind of boldness and immorality this is, that you'll go to the heaven, but to light up your cigarette you'll come to us, as in they're admitting that they will be in the hell, ma'adallah. And as if he'll light up his cigarette in the hell as well, or na'udhu billah min zalik, cigarette will be smoked in the heaven. So is he such illiterate and ignorant that he doesn't even know this much? Or are these things outside of Islam? It's just boldness. May Allah Almighty bless us all. This book is Kufriya Kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab. If you read this book once, all of our viewers and those who are present, no matter what walk of life they belong to, everyone should take care of his iman. If one has gone in the field of showbiz, it doesn't mean that he's become a disbeliever. He's still a Muslim. So everyone should try to learn it and work towards safeguarding his iman. Indeed, halal sustenance shall be earned. Having said that, regarding the field of showbiz, I don't mean that the field of showbiz is good. Obviously, it's not good. They themselves know that this field is full of sins, and money earned from it is normally not halal either. May Allah Almighty give us all the passion of becoming good Muslims, because we'll have to leave this world anyhow. One day we will die and eventually face death. Kya khushi ho dil ko chande zist se, gham zada hai jaan aakhir maut hai. Baarha ilmi tujhe samjha chuke, maan ya mat maan aakhir maut hai. So this way, everyone shall keep in view and think about his hereafter all the time. And it is a very big attack of shaitan that if you go to these maulanas, they scare you too much. So do you want to get scared at the time when the angel of death comes? You want to get scared then? Wouldn't getting scared from now be beneficial? As it's stated in the Holy Quran, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. And for one who fears to stand before his Lord, there are two heavens for him. Or ma'azallah, you want to fear when the fire will be blazing in the grave and the wolves will be smashing the ribs and they break into pieces and interlock into each other? Na'udhu billah, no. We are Muslims, we fear our Lord Almighty, and Allah's mercy is very vast.
Due to ignorance on some occasions, we utter blasphemous phrases. And sometimes we remember some phrases what we uttered. And sometimes we've uttered so many phrases that we don't even remember what we uttered on different occasions. So if we remember any such phrase that we shouldn't have uttered, now how will we repent for it? And if we don't remember the blasphemous sentences that we have uttered from our tongue, and now we want to repent, how would it happen? And Baba, if you make us repent from these blasphemous phrases, and this will also be a great favor of yours.
Repentance of the blasphemous phrase that one remembers will be such that the blasphemous phrase that he uttered, he should mention it. For a sake of argument, نعوذ بالله من ذلك, O Allah Almighty, the insult that I committed towards the heaven and said so and so, I repent from this. Then he should recite the kalima, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. So this is repentance, but only if he considers the kufr to be kufr. Otherwise, the repentance is invalid. It's necessary to consider a kufr to be kufr. It's a condition. So this is repentance. Now, if he was married, he'll have to validate his marriage again. And validating it again is not very difficult. Now there's further detail of luzum and iltizam in it. Let me mention an easy way for this, that the wife of the man, she should sit down. Two men or one man and two women who are Muslims, one Muslim man and two Muslim women should sit down, or two Muslim men should sit down or be present there. So under their presence, he should say the following sentence, that I perform marriage with you for the mahr of £300 cash. Do you accept it? And she replies that I accept. Then marriage has taken place. If he says loan mahr instead of cash mahr, it's still valid. Marriage will still be performed, even if mahr is not mentioned. For example, he said that I perform marriage with you. Do you accept it? So two Muslim men or one Muslim man and two Muslim women are all witnessing this, as they are the witnesses of the marriage. So this marriage has taken place. So you don't need to print cards or book a hall for this. Marriage is done. Regarding the sermon is mustahab. It will be valid even without it. If one doesn't know the khutbah, then recite Surah Fatiha, Alhamd Sharif. This will also be khutbah. The woman shall also say, as you have said that, I perform marriage with you. Then the woman should reply that I have accepted it. And this act of ijab and qabool took place in front of the minimum required people, meaning at least two Muslim men or one Muslim man and two Muslim women. They all witnessed it. So the marriage has been performed. Now it's up to the woman that she forgives the mahr herself out of her goodness, or there is mutual understanding, hence she forgives it. Then the mahr will be forgiven. It's done for free, the marriage. Only need to pay a little bit of attention. Kufriya kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab contains the method of marriage. However, if it is iltizame nikah, then the mahr would become obligatory. If luzume kufr was committed, then because a marriage does not invalidate in luzume kufr, although performing marriage again in it is obligatory, but it doesn't break off. Hence, giving mahr in it is not obligatory. So all these details are written in it. So if you study and read that book, it would be wonderful. And the book's not that difficult either. 2 tolas and 7.5 masha silver, or its monetary amount, is the minimum amount of mahr. That's why it's better if he decides it. Safety lies in it. Otherwise, mahr-e-misl will become obligatory if it wasn't decided. £300 was just an example. £300 is not a condition. It can either be more or less, but shouldn't be less than 2 tolas and 7.5 masha. These details can be found in Kufriya Kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab. Do not observe heedlessness in it at all. May Allah forbid, if you have made a mistake, then repent. There shouldn't be a delay in repentance. So let's perform precautionary repentance, as we'll also learn the method of performing precautionary repentance. Because we don't know whether we've uttered any kufr or not. So there's precautionary repentance for this. You don't need to mention the kufr in this, because you don't know about it. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. O Allah, if any kufr has been committed by me, I repent from that kufr. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So repenting as a precaution in this manner is known to be renewing your faith as a precaution. We've repented as well as recited the kalima. However, one shall not consider himself to be a disbeliever when he is repenting as a precaution, as he doesn't know whether he's uttered kufr or not. It's only for when you are sure that you uttered kufr. If you're in doubt, then refer to a scholar. Try to refer to Darul Ifta Ahl-e Sunnat or any prominent mufti. Normal imams of masjid are obviously not muftis. They normally aren't even scholars. Allah Almighty's mercy is very vast. His heaven is very, very spacious. One shall have the desire to attain Allah's heaven and strive immensely to safeguard ourselves from the punishment of the hellfire. By Allah, this is severe fearlessness, that they make us feel fear and turn our moods off. It's for our own benefit. Even a doctor makes us scared, doesn't he? You'll have a bypass operation, running after the doctor. They'd say, let's try to do angioplasty. In fact, angioplasty is the first step for it, or its first stage. And then they would perform the bypass afterwards. So how we anxiously go to the doctor? If one has doubt of cancer, how he shivers out of fear and gets biopsy done, and we pay money to the doctor, and how we get scared. Whereas it often happens nowadays that doctor just earns money by scaring you off. There's no ailment. So as a matter of fact, we're not scared of our hereafter, what will happen to our iman. We have to stay in the grave until the judgment day. Who knows how long it would be for? Then one day of Qiyamah is of 50,000 years. Sun will be only a mile away. Ground, according to a narration, will be of copper. People will be sweating, and according to their deeds, will be drowning within their own sweats. For some, it will be up to their ankles, and for some, it will increase so much that it will hold them like a rain. How would that be? So, fearing now is honestly speaking very good. It's an attack of shaitan that they scare us off. That's the issue, you don't feel the fear. Oh dear viewers, whether you or me, we all have just become fearless. May Allah Almighty truly grant us His fear and keep our iman protected and save us from His torment and enter us in His heaven, which is full of bounties. Bahari Shariat, Volume 1. In one narration, it is stated that if Hur takes her wrist out between the earth and the sky, then because of her beauty, creations will fall prey to rebelliousness. And if she reveals her scarf, then the sun in front of its beauty will become such like a lamp in front of the sun, as in lamp in front of the sun. And if anything of the heaven to the size of a nail gets revealed in this world, then the entire earth and the sky will become decorated with it. And if the bracelet of a heaven dweller gets revealed, then it will remove the sunlight the way sun removes the light of the stars. Place in the heaven where a whip could be placed is better than this world and whatever it contains. You'll be able to consume whatever you want. Neither will there be any stomach problems, nor any back pain. There won't be any pain in the knees either. There won't even be flu or cough over there. There won't be any suffering, just comfort and peace. No tension either. There won't be any kind of grief. There's no way of grief. To the extent that if someone is wearing a beautiful garment in the heaven and the other person thinks that his clothes are better than mine, then as soon as he looks at his own clothes, his clothes will also turn like the other. So there is no grief in the heaven. There is no tension. It's tension-free. Now if we see a bird flying and feel like eating its meat, as soon as you thought about it, the meat will be ready for you. It will come to you itself. Neither will you have a runny nose over there, nor will you feel to go to the toilet. Such impure things that discharge from a human body and are a means of distress will not exist there. There won't be beard either. We'll be beardless. Only one will have beard. Madani Kasoti. Answer, who will have a beard? Only one will have a beard. One heaven dweller will have beard. Guess who that individual would be. Which heaven dweller would it be? May Allah forgive us for his sake.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Huzoor, the question you asked, that who will have the beard? Well, whose face will be enlightened? And upon whose arrival, everyone will rejoice. He is the one who will have the beard, Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Madani gods, get hold of him.
No, my answer is right. This is the call of my heart.
Your answer is not correct.
Is it not?
Tasbih of Medina. Who shall I give it to? Let's see who takes it.
Hazrat Adam alayhi salam will have the beard. So people could recognize that he is the father of all humans.
The answer is incorrect. Madani gods, capture him. Son, where have you read it? Or you just thought about something and the thought came in your heart and you just openly revealed and uttered it.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I am Muhammad Kashif Attari from Babul Madina, Karachi. The answer is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam.
The answer is incorrect.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Harun alayhi salam, the brother of Musa alayhi salam.
The answer is correct. Hazrat Harun ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu salam will have a beard in heaven. Only he.